We begin the current daven, Sechtes Gittin, daf Ayin. We begin 5 lines down for the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, discussing Talmudic remedies, which the previous daf was discussing more internal. Now it's going to be discussing external things that are wounds that require some therapy. So Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says, Hayman de machule ba'aloinche de farsoi. Somebody that was pierced by one of those Persian spears, where the Persians would put some lethal poison on the tip of their spears, and it pierces the person's skin when they get shot at with this spear. So says Shmuel, Michi loichai. This person is not going to live because that poison goes straight into his bloodstream. He's going to die. But at the hachi v'hachi. But in the meantime, nisvi le bisra shmeina agurme. You should give him some fatty meat on that was roasted on coals. V'charmachaya and undiluted wine, which are very strong. So after the chayav porta, maybe he'll live a little bit. Umifkid abesi, that he'll be able to command his household regarding his assets, how to go ahead and divide it after that he passed away. But he's not going to survive. But these things might just give him a little boost that he could make it till he gets back home and takes care of his affairs. So to Omer Avidi Bar Oven, he says, my hayman de bala zibur, somebody that swallows a hornet, michi lechay, again, he's not going to survive. But at least in the meantime, Nashke Riviyasa the Chala Shamzag, they should give him a revius of this very strong vinegar, that Esh the Chayapurta, maybe at least he'll survive a little bit, Umifke Labesin, and he'll be able to again tell his family what should be done with his assets before he passes away. Amir Bishu Ben Levi, he says, Achal Basar Shor Belefis. If someone eats ox meat, real heavy meat, and with Belefis, with turnips, Velon Belavana, and he sleeps under the moon. But Leilu Yodal Oitezvav, but Kufis Tamas, either on the night of the 14th or the 15th in the summer months, which is the Tkufa of Tamas, so then Oichazosoi Achilu. Then this Achilu, which we'll describe in a moment, takes a hold of him. So to Tana with it in the Brice of Ahamamali, Kreis Machal Davi. Someone fills up his stomach with anything, meaning something that's good for him, and it's sweet to the palate, and he eats to his heart's desire. It brings to the sickness oichazasa achilu, that this achilu grabs a hold of him. So Amar Papa, he says, and this is afilu mitamri, even from dates. So the Gemara's pshita, that's obvious. We said from everything. So the Gemara says no, because solke daitechamina. I would have thought to say hayel v'amamar, since the master says in Masechta Ksubis, which describes dates as being so good for the body, that tamri masban. First of all, dates say satiate, they make a person satisfied. Umeshachnun, and it warms him up. Umeshalshun, it helps clear out his system. Uma ashran, and it also gives him strength. Valoima fankan, and it also doesn't make a person into a delicate type of a person, although it's very sweet tasting, it doesn't make him into an istness, which are people that are very delicate and they only need certain now high quality things. So amalai, I would think to say that dates would be the exception because they're so good for the body. Kamash Mulan, that's what the Gemara is teaching, that as the Yiddish saying goes, Altsmit atzi is nishket, meaning anything that's too much is not good. Even it could be the best thing like dates, too much is not going to be good. And again, it will bring on this achilu. So the Gemara says, my achilu, what's achilu? So Amar Belazi says, it's eish shalatzamas, the fire of the bones. So the Gemara says, my eish shalatzamas, what's this fire of the bones? So Rabbi, he says, eish garmeh, which means bone fire. That's the what this achilu is, again, which happens either when you eat the basar shor belefis and sleeping under the moon and that tkufas tamas, or from eating too much. So my asu say, what's the remedy? So my Abai says, Amalie, my mother told me, kulu shakyone, all types of beverages, these liquids that are potions are taken for medicinal purposes, they all have a certain amount of days, how much they should be taken. Some of them are tlasa, some of them should be taken for, they're a 3-day pack, and some of them are vishiva, are for 7 days, and some of them are vitresa, are for 12 days. But vahai, but this one is the exception, it's admitase, until he's healed. That's how long he has to take it for. Moreover, kolu shakyane alibi rekana. All of these liquids should be taken on an empty stomach. V'hai basa de achav v'shasi. But this one should be after he eats and drinks. V'ayla besakis, and he goes to the laboratory. V'nafik u'mashiyad, he comes out and he washes his hands. U'maisile buna de shesisa de tlafche. And they bring him a fistful of this type of shtisa, which shtisa is generally that's made out of flour. This one is made out of lentil flour together with salt. Ubuna de chamratika, and a fistful of old wine. V'nigbalinu b'hadei adodei v'nechal, and should knead them together, mix them together, and then they should eat it. And then v'nichrich b'sadine v'nigne, then he should wrap himself up in his blanket and go to sleep, so that he should get warmed, his body should warm up, and then he should perspire. And moreover, v'leke denukme, nobody should wake him up, because we want him to sleep as long as possible and to get in that, because all that sweat, all that perspiration is good. Ad dekoy menafshe, until he gets up by himself. Now v'chikoy, but when he gets up, lishkele l'sadine v'nei, they should take away the blanket from him, because v'iloy, if not, hodi levay, actually comes back to him this illness that he's trying to get rid of from this achilui. Now, Amli Eliyahu l'Rab Nasan, Eliyahu Navi said to Rab Nasan, Achal Shlish, you should eat a third of your capacity in your stomach, v'shasei shlish, and the next third you should drink a third, v'hanach shlish, and a third you should leave your stomach empty. Don't eat till you're full. Now, therefore, l'kashat tiches, when you anger, and then actually the anger will fill up your stomach, tamad amalo echa, then you'll be where you'll be by full capacity then. But if you're going to fill your stomach up with food and drink, then when you're going to get angry, that's going to fill up, it inflates the stomach even more, then you're going to burst. So better leave a leftover a third so that the anger could fill up the remaining third. Tanya Rebchir told in the Braisa, HaReitzah Shel Yovel Deichoy L'Mayim, if someone doesn't want to come to intestinal illness, he should be accustomed himself to dipping his bread into vinegar or into wine. Kayitz of chayef, whether it's in the summer or in the winter. Moreover, sudascha shana ascha mimeno, your meal that you get your primary pleasure from, which is your sweetest dish, meshech yotcha mimeno, you should withdraw your hand from it. In other words, don't fill your stomach up with that dish. And v'atisha atzmacha, don't hold yourself back, b'shosha atetzachlan kevecha. When you have to relieve yourself, don't hold yourself back. Go ahead and do it at that time. Amar Rukva Mokva says, Haiman de Shasi Tilya Chivra. Someone that drinks this white Tilya, which is of inferior quality wine, Achazasa Visik. So this Visik, which is a type of a weakness, will grab a hold of him. Now actually, Amar Rav Chizdi says, Shisin Mini Chamahava. There's 60 types of wines. Ma'alya de Kulu, the upper, the highest quality wine is Sumka Richasana. This red aromatic wine, which has a very good aroma. Now, Griya de Kulu, Tilya Chivra, the lowest one, the most inferior, is this white Tilya wine, which is a very poor quality wine. Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, Haiman de Yosef Bitzafroni Nisan, someone that sits by Nisan time in the morning, Gabi Nura, near the fire, Veshayef Mishcha, and he smears himself with oil, Benafik V'yosef B'shimshan, he goes out to sit in the sun, Achazasi Visig, so again, this Visig then takes a hold of him, this weakness. He gets weaker in this spring month time when he puts on this oil and goes out to sit in the sun. This weakness grabs a hold of him. Tan Rabban Lin Nabraisa. Hikis Dam Vishimish Mitase. If someone does bloodletting, which was a custom in the Talmudic times, and then he has marital relations, conjugal relations, so Havanli Bundam Viskin, so that'll have children. If she gets impregnated from those relations, they'll have children that are very weak. Now, hikizu shnei b'shimshav, both of them let blood, and then they had relations. Havin lebanim bali ra'asan, then they're going to have children that are very weak. And that comes, this ra'asan, from this cranial sheretz, this little type of bacteria or vermin that's in the brain, as the Gemara explains, besatik subas of ayin zayin mabez, that happens from this their children would be born like that if the parents had let blood and were in a weakened state and then had relations, that's going to cause the children to be very weak. Amar Papa, however, qualifies this and he says, Le'amaran el le'tom midi. This is only if they didn't taste anything, didn't eat anything between the bloodletting and the relations. Avotom midi leslamba. But if they tasted something, then there's no problem. Amar Rabba Ravuni says, Boman aderech v'shimish mitase. If someone came from a journey, and then he went and had relations. Havin le bonim viskin, that causes, again, the weakened state, that the children from that relations should also be weakened children. Tanra banu learn abraisa. Abomi beis akise. If someone is coming out of the laboratory, al yishamish mitase, he shouldn't have relations. Ache yishe shir chatzi mil, until he delays himself the amount of time that it takes to walk a half a mil, which is approximately 9 minutes. A mil is like 18 minutes. Because the demon that is in the laboratory escorts that person. So therefore you have to wait and delay till you get past that. Now, v'im shimish, but if you do have relations, havin labanim nichfim, that causes the children to be that certain type of epilepsy, that they collapse because of this illness. Tarabban learned in the Braisa. Hamishamish mitasim umar. If someone has relations standing, echazasi avis. So as Rashi says, this krampa, this cramp, will take a hold of him. Miyushav, if he has relations sitting, echazusai delaria. So then delaria will take a hold of him. Moreover, he milmala v'hu milmata, if she's on top and he's on bottom, echazasi delaria, then again this delaria will take a hold of him. So the Gemara is my delaria. What's delaria? So actually the Gemara doesn't answer that question. Rather, the Gemara answers with what's the remedy for it. Amri B'Shur ben Levi says, Sam Delaria, the medicine, the remedy for Delaria is Dardara. So the Gemara says, my Dardara. So Rabbi, it's Mayrika de Chaychi, which is this type of saffron that grows on a fence made out of thorns. Now, actually, Rabbi Papa Alas, he would chew it in his teeth, the saffron, Ubalal, and he would swallow it. Whereas a papa always for shadilah, papa would chew it, but then he would spit it out. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, "Misha in the baki b'derech eretz." Someone that's not proficient in marital relations, which Rashi translates to mean to say that he doesn't have any stamina, any strength to have relations. And so what he should do is lacy gimel kafizi. He should bring three kafizi, which is a vessel that contains three revi'os of kurtami d'chaychi, which is a type of saffron which Rashi says that grows in the ground that was fertilized by the dung of sheep. Vinidukinhu, and then he should grind it very, very fine. Vinishlakinhu b'chamer v'nishli, then he should boil it with wine, and then he should drink it. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, actually Rabbi Yochanan comments, and he says, hein hen hechzeruni l'narusi. It was actually this remedy that actually brought me back to my youth for being able to have relations. So the Gemara continues and says, "Shleicha dvar mechishim koyche shaladna." Three things that weaken a person's strength, veilohin, and they are pachad, anxiety, worry that he's worried about the future. He's worried about where he's going to get food from. He's in fear about the enemy. Derech, travel, and v'oven and sin. As the Gemara brings the sources, pachad d'chsev, anxiety, as it says a pasuk in Tehillim, libi secharchar, that my heart, as the word secharchar means to go around, it goes around the round in anxiety, in worry. Azavoni koichi, and my strength has left me. Derech d'chsev, travel, as we find in the pasuk in Tehillim, that says, inu baderech koichi, that is if he has afflicted my strength on the road. And oven d'chsev, sin, as it says in the pasuk in Tehillim, says, koshel b'avoni koichi, that through my sin, I've stumbled in my strength, meaning that it has weakened my strength. Gemara continues, shleishu devar matizin gufish aladim. There are three things that shatter a person's body. And they are achem umr, if he eats standing, v'shasim umr, if he drinks standing, v'shimish mitasim umr, and if he has marital relations standing. The Gemara says, chamisha kreven lemisa yesim nechayim. There are five that are closer to death than to being alive. Ve'elohen, and they are achal v'amar. If someone eats, and he immediately stands up before he waits a little bit, he eats and he quickly gets up, or shasim v'amar, he drinks and he quickly gets up, hikiz dam v'amar, he lets blood and he quickly gets up. Yashin ba'amad, if he sleeps and he quickly gets up. And shimis mitas ba'amad, and if he has relations and he quickly gets up, all these things weaken a person. Eating, bloodletting, sleep, matter relations, and you quickly get up. So again, it's so harmful for the body, you're closer to being dead than being alive. Gemara continues, shisha ha'isa aysan. There are six things that whoever does all of these things in one shot, miyad meis. Immediately he dies. Ve'elohin, and they are. First of all, haba b'derech v'nisyage. He comes back from a long journey and he's all worn out. Hikiz dam, then he lets blood. V'nichnas l'beis ha'merchetz, and he goes into the bathhouse. V'shasa v'nishtaker, he drinks and he gets intoxicated. V'yashna gabekaka, and he sleeps on the floor. V'shimish metasa, and he has relations. All these things really take a toll on the person's body. You do all these six things in one shot, you're definitely going to die. Now, Amr b'yechen, and he says, but v'husha son kisidrin. It's only if you do it in the order that we just said it. But Amr Abaye, Abaye says, kisidrin mes. When you do it in the order, then there's death. If it's not in that order, it will still at least make the person very weak. Now the Gemara asks, is that really so? But Ma'uras, which was the name of a woman, she did for her servant only three of these things, umis, and he died. You see, you don't need all six. The Gemara answers, he was very weak. That's why three of the things made him die. But generally, for a regular person, you would have to do all six to die. The Gemara says, Shmeina, Reuben Kasha Mu'utin Yafa. There are eight things that doing too much of it is harsh, but doing a little bit of it is good. In other words, if a person has a little bit of it, it is good for the body. It is therapeutic. And it's better to do a little bit than doing none of it. But doing too much of it is very harsh when the person does that. So what are these eight things that you should do a little bit of it? Because doing none of it is not good either. You should do a little bit, but too much is hard, too harsh for the body. Is derech, is traveling, is going on the roads, walking. V'derech eretz, relations, marital relations. Oysher, wealth, which again, a little bit of it is good, but too much of it is harsh because it prevents a person from learning Torah, and it also makes him haughty. Umalacha, work. Yayin, wine. Vashina, sleep. Cham, and warm water to bathe himself and to drink. Vakazas dam, and bloodletting. All these things, you should do a little bit of it, not none, but again, not too much. Now, the Gemara says, Shemayna memaita mesazera. There are eight things that diminish a person's seed. Ve'elohein, and they are Hamelach, salt, Varov, hunger, Vahanesek, which is Tsaras, leprosy, Bechia, crying, Vashina agabekarka, sleeping on the ground, Vugudganiyos in coriander, Vekishush lebezmana, hops out of season, which the Gemara will shortly explain what is that season, Vakosis dam lamata, and bloodletting the lower region of a person's body, that diminishes a person's seed, Kiflayim, double of all those things that we mentioned. Now, Tana, we learned in the Braisa, but Kashem Shakash Lamata Keflam, just like letting blood on the lower region of a person's body, is double of all the other things of diminishing seed. Kachyof Lamala Keflam, so too, it's actually positive, it's beneficial, double if you let blood on the top. Now, Amar Papa, he explains, as we continue with him in Bays, Lamata, what does it mean below? It means Lamata Mina Beitim, it means below the testicles, meaning on the person's foot or by his thighs. Lamala, when it says that and above it is beneficial, is lamala min habeitzim, is above the person's testicles, which is by his shoulder, his neck, or by his hips. Now, this that we said, bekishas shalei bizmana, hops not in its time, so that diminishes the seed. Tanu, we learn in the Braisa, kishem shakasha shalei bizmana, just like it's harmful in not in its season, kach yafa bizmana, so too it's actually beneficial in its season. And Amar Papa, he says, mana is tamas. That is in the summer months. That's the season for the hops. Then it's good. Shalibiz mana tevis. Out of season is in tevis in the wintertime. Now, yemi nisne b'yemi tishrei, spring and autumn. Then loymalu b'lekasher, that's not beneficial, but it's neither harmful then either. Now, the Gemara has concluded the dafim discussing the Talmudic remedies, and it returns to the discussion of our Mishnah, which opened up this parak. So Amar, so we continued in the first case that we started with someone that was achazoser kudiyakis. So then the next half of that case was Amar Kisva Gedla Ishti. If a regular sane person tells witnesses, he says, write a get for my wife. And including that was the provision that they should go ahead and deliver it. V'achzaseh Kurdiyakis. And then Kurdiyakis took a hold of him, which again is possessed by this demon Kurdiyakis because of drinking too much freshly pressed wine. Now v'chazav Amar Al-Tachtavu. And then after he's possessed by this Kurdiyakis, he says, no, don't write it. So the Mishnah said his later words are insignificant. We don't consider it, again, because he's not saying it in a clear state of mind. It's only because he's possessed by this Kurdiyakas. Now, there's a machlokes exactly how to define what the Mishnah means when it says, Ein Dvar Vachroidim Klum. Our Mishnah Melakas, she says, Kais Vin V'Nisn Getl Alta. What that means to say is that they actually write it and they give the get immediately, even during his illness that he's possessed by this Kurdiyakas, because since he had previously said to write and to give the get, so he already authorized it. Now, moreover, what's included, and this is an important, integral part of Rish Lakish's statement, is that we don't say that he's a shaitan now, a mentally deranged person, and that he cannot be megarish. Meaning, even if a guy says yes, but if right now he's a shaitan, so he can't go ahead and give it, it can't be considered an extension of him divorcing because he's a shaitan. So we don't say that he's a mentally deranged person. He's possessed. He might not be of the clearest of mind. But as we'll see in the Gemara, just like someone sleeping also is not the clearest of mind, but he's a sane person, so then his authorization can then be delivered even when he's sleeping, so too over here. But Rabbi Yechanan, he disagrees. It says, "In kaisim ela keshe yishtapet." It says, no, you could only write the get only when he becomes back sane again, when he's cleared from this kuduyakas. So the Gemara explains, my time in the Rish Lakish, what's the reason of Rish Lakish? So diktani, because it says in the Mishnah, ein bedvar v'achoinim klum. His later words are nothing. Meaning to say, although he's trying to retract, we don't listen. If it's nothing, then we just go based on what he originally said, which was to write him to give, so we write him a gift. But Rabbi Yechon Amalach, he would tell you, no. When the Mishnah says, ein bedvar v'achoinim klum, that there's nothing in his later words, what that means to say is, delachi mitzel, that when he becomes tzalul, when he becomes clear of mind, then leitzarch lemahadi imluchibe. It just means to say you don't have to go ahead and consult with him again to take permission, because his later retraction is insignificant. We still have his authorization to do it. But ol'olam ein kaisim elikashishtab. But still, you cannot not write it until he becomes totally sane. So the Gemara says, "But my so what are they arguing about? Why would this question be if you could write it when he's with this kardiyakus or not?" So the Gemara explains, "Rish Lakish medam lele yashin." Shlakish equates the person possessed by kurdiyakas like a person that's sleeping. Where although, again, as we said, he's not clear of mind, but he's a sane person. So this guy's also, he's not a shait, he's not a mentally deranged person. He's just not all there right now. And therefore, you could still, since he had authorized and everyone agreed what he said now is insignificant, so therefore you go ahead and write and give it. But Rabbi Yechon medame lele shaita. Rabbi Yechon equates this kurdiyakas guy with as a mentally deranged person. A shaita, you can't go ahead and deliver a get from him. He's not sane. It's not going to be a qualification of an appropriate get, of a nasim b'yada. Now, the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yechon enami lidami liyashin. Rabbi Yechon should also compare him to a guy who's sleeping. So on that, Rabbi Yechon says, no, because yashin lemechusa maisa. A guy who's sleeping is not lacking any intervention, any action. Just got to wake him up. He's all there. Hay mechusa maisa. But this kuduyakas guy, he is lacking action, lacking intervention, because he needs medicine. He needs, as the Gemara had previously said, this lean meat on coals. There's something that has to be done to him to bring him back. So that's why it's fundamentally different than sleeping. And if we equate him more as a shaita, and if he's a shaita, you can't divorce his wife, even though he had previously authorized it when he was sane. Now the Gemara asks, Rish Lakish nami ladami l'shaita. So Rish Lakish also should compare it to a shaita, and therefore how does he let them write it now when he's possessed by kudiyakas? So the Gemara says, no. He says it's not similar to a shaita, because shaita loisame biyad. Regarding a shaita, a mentally deranged person, we don't have any medicine to heal a mentally deranged person. So that's what a shaita is. Hi, sami biyadim, but this guy, we have a way, we have medicine, we have an intervention to heal him. Besusumka agumri b'chamer marka, which is lean meat on coals, and very much diluted wine. So therefore, he's not the same as a shaita. Shaita is someone he's just a different type of a person. We can't, there's no healing him. That's someone that can't divorce his wife. But this person who just give him some type of food and he's good to go, so he's more towards sleeping than he is towards shaita, and that's why you could divorce his wife even now when he's possessed by kudiyakas. Now, so that's how the Gemara explains this machlok is how to interpret what does it mean in dvar b'achoinim klum. But now the Gemara asks, did Rabbi Yechon really say that in this case you cannot write the get for his wife when he's possessed by kudiyakas? But ask the Gemara v'amar b'yehuda mishmuel, he says, shachet b'yishnayim or reib shnayim. Let's say a person had two, or the majority of his two pipes, his windpipe and his food pipe, his esophagus and his trachea, were slaughtered. Let's say Chas v'Shalom was in an accident and a meat cleaver went and chopped off his neck. Now, v'ramaz v'amar, now he couldn't talk, he has his larynx was cut off, so he's alluding, he's gesturing, and v'amar, and he's telling, kiss v'get l'ishti, write again for my wife. So the halacha is, Hare elu yichtu b'yitnu, we write and we give it. Now, so tomorrow, we actually learn in the Braisa the same idea. Re'uhu meguyud. If let's say people see the husband, that he's all chopped up into small pieces. Eid solaval at sleeva, or he's hanging from the gallows. Now, v'ramaz v'ama, and he's gesturing and he's saying, kisu get l'ishti, write a get for my wife. Hare elu yichtu b'yitnu, so they write it and they give it. Now, although we see that this guy is also what's called nitra for daitoi, he's not all there. As we see, he can't even talk, he's just gesturing. And yet still we see that we write the get for this guy's wife. So why is it any different in the case of Rabbi Yechonon, which is here we have this person that's possessed by kuduyakas where he's not all there, and neither of these are shaita, and still we're going to go ahead and write it. So why does Rabbi Yechonon say that we don't write the get for this, for the man who's possessed by kudiyakas? So the Gemara says, Hachi Hashi, can you compare the two cases? Hasam daitetzi lusahi. There, by the case where the guy's hanging from the gallows or chopped into small pieces, he's clear of mind. Now, what we would be medayik from seemingly from the Gemara's question was, but he's just gesturing. So on that, the Gemara says v'kishusuhu de'aschilabe. That's only because he's starting to get weakened. He's in his dying. He's dying. He's all chopped up into small pieces. He's hanging from the gallows. So that's why he can't get the words out. That's why he's gesturing. But it's not because he's not clear of mind. He's totally sane of mind. He's lacking his energy, sapping very quickly. So that's why he's gesturing. So of course we're going to write a get for his wife. But how can you compare that to the case of Rabbi Yechanan, where here this guy is totally cognitively dysregulated. He's totally confused. And he's because he's possessed by this demon Kurdiakis, so that would be more comparable to a shaita, and therefore Rabbi Yechanan could still be stand correct that you would not write a get for that person's wife, but that's not a difficulty from the Braisa where you would. Now, parenthetically, the Gemara says once we introduced this halacha from Shmuel, which was an addendum to the Braisa to ask the question on Rabbi Yechanan, so the Gemara says, Shmuel, did Shmuel really say this idea that if a person has his two pipes that were slaughtered, then you write a get for his wife if he's gesturing? So obviously that you see that that's considered the get was written when he was still alive, because you can't write a get if he's qualified as dead. Even if he's gesturing, then you wouldn't write a get. So obviously you're saying that if someone has his two pipes that were slaughtered and he's gesturing, he's still considered alive. That's where you can give a get. On that, the Gemara asked, but va'amar Rabbi Yehuda amar Shmuel. Shmuel had said the following halacha. Shachet b'yishnayim oyreiv shnayim ubarach. If let's say somebody had his two pipes, or the majority of two pipes that were slaughtered, and he was fleeing, he was running away. In other words, let's say he was in some type of altercation, and there was someone that was trying to murder him, and they got two of his pipes. They cut off most of his neck, or however it is that they got to it. And he's running, trying to run away. Now, the guy who witnessed this scene doesn't know what ended up happening with the husband. So, on that, says Shmuel, mi'idin alav. So the witnesses who saw this incident could testify regarding this man that he died to marry off his wife, because you know for sure that he died. Now that the Gemara asks, but if you would entertain like Shmuel just said in the previous halacha that we quoted from him, that even if a person had the two of his pipes cut off, he's still considered alive, and that's why he could gesture to give a wife, get to his wife, because he's still alive. So am I meeting the love? So why are you saying test? How could someone testify that he's dead if you're saying that he could live? So on that the Gemara said, Amri, they said no, chayhu. He's alive right now. When his two pipes are cut, yeah, he could be alive right now, and therefore when he's gesturing and they're going to write to get and quickly give it, he's still alive. But the Sefer Lamas, he's ultimately going to die. We just don't know how long. It's a matter of time. Therefore, they could testify after a short amount of time to marry off his wife if he hadn't divorced her, because he's for sure dead. It's just that right now, even though his pipes are cut off, he's not dead. He's going to die, although his pipes are cut off. So that's why it's not difficult. He's alive now, so it's Gita Michaim, but he's going to die. That's why he could testify at a later point in time that the husband died. Now, but the Gemara continues asking, Elameata, but if that's the case that you're saying, okay, but for sure he is going to die, then you hate Goyil al Yadai. Then if somebody slaughters another Jew inadvertently by mistake, let's say he had a meat cleaver and they went and slaughtered off this guy's two pipes, that should make the guy go into exile, as to go to the Ari Mikla, which is the halacha of someone that murdered someone else by mistake. So then, because you're saying he's for sure going to die, which means say this guy did kill him. So Alama Tanya, then why did we learn the Braisa that says Shachar B'Shnaim or Raif Shnaim? If someone slaughtered someone else's two pipes by mistake, or the majority of them, Hareza Eina Goyli doesn't go into exile, why not? You said that you're killing him. You said he's going to die from that. So the Gemara says, Ha'id ma'alab, but we said regarding this braisa, the Amr B'Hoisha, he qualified this. He said the reason is, Chayshin Hashem HaRuach B'Balasai. We're concerned that maybe the wind actually went and caused it to be mixed up. In other words, without the wind, actually, maybe he would not have died right at that point in time. I mean to say that, yes, by slaughtering someone's two pipes, ultimately he will die. But who said it would have happened right now? Could be because the ear is getting into that area that actually accelerated this person's death. So it wasn't him alone that caused this person to die. Or inami, or maybe who kirives misasa. Maybe actually the one who died himself accelerated his own death by thrashing around and shaking around. That caused him to die. So yes, of course, ultimately that this guy would have ended up dying. But it turns out that right now he didn't kill him, because everyone's really going to die at some point. Now, but whoever brought it nearer is the one that's killing him. But right now, maybe the few minutes earlier, maybe it wasn't actually him, because it could be the person who's thrashing around, or the wind that's getting to the area caused the death, and that's why we can't send him into exile. Now, like, what's the difference between these two reasons why he doesn't go into exile, if it was the guy himself who was the victim, or it was because of the elements of, let's say, the ear that was getting to it, which caused it? So the Gemara says, Ikebenai, the difference is, the shachtei bevesa de shisha. If let's say he slaughters him in a house that's made out of marble, where there's no wind that gets in, but the victim is shaking around. Where there, again, according to the reason of, let's say, the wind, that wouldn't apply over here, but according to the reason of shaking around the wood. Where inami, the shachtei bevara vele pirkas. Or if he slaughtered him in the outdoors, where there is wind, but it didn't shake around, didn't thrash around, again, that would be the difference between those two interpretations, if that would cause him to go into exile or not. Now the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah that said that if Nishtatik, if a regular guy, he becomes mute, and they ask him, do you want to give a get to your wife? Maybe because of the situation, he can't talk anymore, whatever it is, or whatever the situation is. And he shakes his head, yes. So they give his wife a get. As long as they inspect him three times, ask him questions that the answer should be yes, and he shakes his head in the appropriate yes motion, up and down, let's say. And when it's no questions, he shakes his head side to side, which is appropriate head shaking for no's. Now, on this approach of inspecting him that way, to see that he's totally sane, it's just that he can't talk, the Gemara asks, but v'leichesh, we should be concerned, maybe that the motions of no has taken a hold of him. Maybe he really is not totally sane. Let's say actually is meshuga. There's an illness of retardation that's taken a hold of him, which tells him to shake his head in the positioning of no, inami, or maybe that shichya dehein hei nakta, maybe that he's just and has this problem of just shaking his head up and down, and maybe he's not really answering the appropriate answers. Maybe you're asking him, is your neighbor this person? And he just shakes his head. And he's not really answering yet, because sometimes you could have someone that has an illness of just head shaking. So how can you verify that he really knows what he's talking about? So Amar Rav Yisba min Yumi Amar Rav Nachman, it says, no, da'amrinan le b'sirukin, because we actually tell him with... By switching off, by waiting between the head shaking and the next question, by waiting an hour, by doing it through intervals, and then again they go ahead and ask him that same question. So if he's going to answer again an hour later, then we don't assume that it was the same head shaking, because if he's doing it, maybe he's doing it for this period. But if you wait an hour and you ask him again, then we could assume that he knew the right answer. But the Gemara asks, maybe he has this type of illness, which again, the same mishagas, like it's called, where he does it periodically also. Every hour he goes and shakes his head up again and again. So maybe the fact that you're asking him a yes question, and he's shaking his head yes, who said that it's not because of this retardation, and not that he's answering the right answer? So the Gemara answers, you're right, damin lechad la v'trein hein. No, it's because we ask him one question that the appropriate answer is no, to shake his head side by side. And two, that the answer is yes. And between la v'chid hein, then we do two no's and one yes. So in other words, there, we don't assume, because there we're switching off. You're right, if we did three in a row, let's say, of yeses, so we wouldn't know, because it would just go shaking it up and down. And if we ask him three in a row of no, maybe just go like that. But since we switch it off, so then we don't assume that he just is getting that right, of that's his head shaking for the questions that we're asking him, and that's how we know that he's sane, and that's why we can give a get to this person's wife. Now, the Beir Bishmol Tana, in the Yeshiva Bishmol, they taught a brisa, a different approach, that when they inspect him, let's say regarding a no question, that he should be answering no, they tell him things regarding the summer in the winter months. For example, they ask him about something that would be appropriate for the summer, but now it's in the winter. And they ask him something that's appropriate for the winter in the summer months. So there they'll know about how he approaches, what he's answering. If he's saying, if he answers no, then they know he's got it right. Now, the Gemara's mind you, what is that? What's something that, let's say, appropriate for the summer, even though, and now it's in the winter, or something that's for the winter, and now it's the summer, and therefore he should be answering no. So the Gemara asks, Ilei Megulufkari, if it's, let's say, a reference to a coat, that they're asking him, do you want a coat, and it's in the summer months, or Visadine, or they're asking him that if he wants to cover himself with a linen blanket, which is very light, but it's in the winter, and therefore you're saying that if he answers no, then he gets it. But if he answers yes, that means that something's wrong with him. But on that, the Gemara says, why would that be? we should be suspect that maybe that he got cold. It was a chill that took him over, even though it's in the summer months. So even though he answers, let's say, in the summer, that when they ask him, do you want a coat? And he shakes his head, yes. Maybe he's not a shaita. Maybe he just got very cold. Or ina michama achode. Maybe that even though it's in the winter, maybe he got this hot spell where he needs a linen blanket, even though it's the winter months. So how could that verify that if he's a shaita or not by asking him these type of questions? So the Gemara concludes on the top of Ayin Aleph and Aleph, Elibe Peiwi. Rather, the questions that they ask him when we said winter and summer or summer and winter is they ask him regarding certain fruits that it's not their season right now. Which Rashi brings, for example, this Trishash in the winter or in the summer, this Nishpale. In other words, if you're going to ask him in the winter for if you want certain fruits which is only season that is in the summer, and you ask him in the summer fruits that are really the season is only the winter, and he shakes his head yes, then we realize that he's a shaita, that he's missing it, because actually, if he would be sane, he would understand that this answer should be no, because he knows you can't get this thing in the season, and that would be the verification according to the interpretation of the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel, that those are the types of questions that you ask him to shake his head, and then if he gets it, then they could ask him, do you want to divorce your wife? And then he shakes his head yes, and then they'll know and they could divorce his wife.